Well, someone whose only major anxiety, I think, is do I have three phones, all of them charged? Because Tsidi Madea, our EWN political reporter, has literally, I mean, you must have been on, you must have, which hand do you use, right or left?
I use my right.
So your right ear must be very warm. I think we need to just check, get you some ear. But welcome to the show, Tsidi. I mean, obviously, an enormous amount of stuff has happened already. We're speculating a little bit, but the rumors are getting stronger, suggesting the president will speak sooner rather than later with that 7 o'clock NEC meeting, perhaps the cutoff. But what did you hear overnight? My understanding is that the president and senior members of the ANC, we don't have a top six anymore, but people who would fill those slots were with him and they were talking till late.
Good afternoon, John. Let me start with that NEC that we're expecting to take place this evening, a virtual NEC. Since we last spoke offline, they've decided to not have it tonight.
Oh.
They can't have it virtually. They're saying that there are too many of you, people like you, Tsidi, who are waiting on the sidelines to tap into the conversation. If it's virtual, you have access to the debates and the deliberations taking place.
Right.
So they've moved it to tomorrow. It'll be in person at Nasrec. So we go back to the old days of camping outside, hoping to catch one or two members of the NEC who will give us a bit of insights into what's happened. So that's the first part. So that battle that I think he was preempting with the suspected announcement has been moved to, he's got 24 hours, I suppose, to another day. But in terms of how the story was playing itself out last night, the meetings weren't actually with the ANC's top officials, John.
Okay.
It was ANC senior politicians who are close to Ramaphosa, okay, in Ramaphosa's camp,
yes,
also not necessarily deliberating with the president. That is also happening today. They were deliberating amongst themselves a lot about what needs to happen, because he's somebody who's never been opposed to the idea of resigning. It wouldn't be the first time that he says to them, I think it's time for me to go. He said it quite a few times in his time in office, from what I understand. What it is people who are linked to him, and that's the difficulty between politics and patronage that comes with politics, and the perks of these people who are seen as lieutenants, who are having very senior positions in his government, now left to wonder what will happen to them if he leaves office. So what he's had is pressure from people linked to him saying, don't go. We can fight, you know. And
yes,
he did also say to them, do I go? Do we fight? What happens, from what I understand? And so there's been a lot of attempts to try and get him to stick around. But as you are saying, you can see the reports are intensifying. I mean, in the morning I said, will or won't he go based on those conversations? And then I said, you know, part of the considerations are Khalima Motlanthe will make a bad plan B. These are conversations that are happening in his camp as they deliberate about the way forward. And they've moved from maybe he can stick it out to actually let's start planning a way ahead outside of Ramaphosa's head of state. So it does feel a lot like it is happening. As journalists, we're hearing about OB trucks that are preparing themselves.
Yes.
And it's difficult because he could just announce that the 27th of December is a public holiday as people want. And it's just us who are anticipating the most. But I think in all likelihood, the announcement is about the Palapala farm burglary. It is about his fate as head of state. It is about the processes that need to follow next.
So I'm going to go to traffic, but then I do want to come back to you because there's so many things you've raised that I need to pick up on. But let's get people home, or at least get them on the way home. So Tsidi, first of all, you mentioned very specifically resign as state president. Does that suggest that there's a conversation going on that's saying he could stay on as ANC president and indeed put himself still up for that position at Nasrec? Two centers of power has divided the ANC before, most notably at Polokwane, when Thabo Mbeki, having done all his years just about as national president, was looking nevertheless to stay on as head of the party.
I'm glad you mentioned Thabo Mbeki, because he's the one who over the recent years has been speaking about how this issue of two centers of power is a fallacy, that there is actually no such thing, that it's something that's been created. In fact, Mbeki had made an argument quite recently again that you should have somebody else different serving as head of state and someone completely different focusing on the organization. So the conversations are that he does stay on as ANC president. John, he only has 2 weeks left before the end of his tenure.
Yes.
We're 15 days away from the ANC's national conference. I think the big question is, does he stay on? He is the leading candidate as far as nominations are concerned. People in Zweli Mkhize's camp are obviously reading this as a moment of triumph and potentially could catapult Zweli Mkhize into ANC presidency. But I wouldn't be so excited if I were them. I think there is a grouping that sees themselves as the progressives. They see themselves as the third way that are aligned to Paul Mashatile. Paul Mashatile might not have had his sights set on the presidency, might have gambled with the idea. But I think these developments this week will certainly drive him in that direction.
So the other thing you said, there's so much each time you speak, I'm jotting notes down. But you said he's been wanting at the very least a resignation discussion for a while. Why? Because there's a widely held perception that he's wanted to be president for a long time. Is this prompted by Palapala, or has it come up in relation to other issues as well?
I think I've been hearing that a lot around the Palapala farm burglary. But John, I've asked him once about how he rated his own presidency, his own term of office. At the time, I was asking if he felt he led with the necessary courage. And he said to me, there's no other president who's at the difficulty he's experienced while in office. And COVID. He spoke about saying, you know, there are these challenges, but also internally, if you speak to people who are close to him, I recently had a conversation with Franz Baleni, who said there is no other ANC president who's faced an onslaught from within the party ever since the dawn of democracy, not even Zuma, not from a president. And even the challenges, again, Mandela might have inherited a transition from an apartheid government, but that Ramaphosa actually has had his back up against the wall from internally, from his own party, than most people. And I think every time he's attempted to do one thing as head of state, he's had to struggle with managing and maneuvering ANC diplomacy. So those issues have been difficult. I don't think Ramaphosa needed to be president. I think he wanted to be president to fulfill a lifelong vision. And I think it hasn't been what he thought it would be.
I mean, what that raises, and I've got some thoughts I'm going to share with people later, but you do not become president in many ways, arguably, in a party that is contested as the ANC as an individual. And that would have been in the job description because, yes, he came with his own merits as candidate, but he came as the flag bearer for a lot of people who put a lot, and I'm just talking in narrow ANC terms, put a lot on the line, sticking their head up and saying, you know what, we're going to go with him and we're not going to go with Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma. Do you think perhaps he has over the years taken these things too personally as instead of seeing himself as part of a movement within a movement?
I think you will. I think it'll be difficult not to. If you are in, I don't know what it's like to be president, but I imagine if you're taking the amount of hits that he took, you do at some point feel like it is about me. I often like to say to Gwede Mantashe, for instance, you are the pressure absorber. If there is a place where they don't want to go, where they know there'll be a hostile reception, they tend to send you. And Gwede spoke about how he's had to learn to become that over the years and how difficult it is to be in political space. But what I also think very quickly, John, is that it would have never been a walk in the park. The ANC is a party in trouble. And I think at times the president feels that it feels like it was a little bit naive in taking on the job without recognizing how widespread it is. And I don't know how one could be that naive because he was there. He was the deputy president. He was watching the rot and how he thought that he could be the person to turn it around. And I mean, we're already speaking like his career is over, politically speaking, but that is what it feels like. And I also don't imagine that I was going to think about change of guard towards December, but we're going to wait because we are 2 weeks away from that. Yeah. So I'll hold off on that. Yeah.
No, that's fine. But Tsidi's going to be with us regularly. Tsidi, stick around. We've got a couple of people sending us voice notes prompted by what we've been talking about. Take a listen.
702 WhatsApp John
on 072-702-1702.
Good afternoon, John, and fellow listeners as well as the team. What crisis you're referring to? This country has been in a crisis for a long time now. You look at the Etol stories, and remember, Cyril Ramaphosa has been part of this ruling government since I was born, even way, way before I was born, sorry. And if he leaves now, really, there's nothing that's gonna change. The only thing that's gonna change is who's gonna be now the corrupt leader. I remember once I was in 702 Studios and the guy came in, meaning our current president, and there's nothing really that he promised us, because the questions that Karima Brown, may his soul rest in peace, the questions that Karima Brown asked that day, till today, that guy has never answered or solved any of those questions or concerns. So really, I don't know, and I don't know. You can't just conceal and don't tell the nation Uri, where now so much money was stolen and you think you're gonna get away with it, and you think Uri, you are a good president and you're leading on a clean slate. Oh jeez. Bye John. Tulani Dlamini.
Yeah, Tulani sounding exhausted, sounding even a little bit desperate. And I think a lot of people are feeling the weight. Let me not name other people's emotions. Name them yourself and you tell me. I mean, there may be people who want to come in and turn this into a debate and say, you know what, good. We didn't like him. We didn't think he got on with things. And we don't like the ANC, perhaps. And we see this as a next step to their downfall. We are a contested political country, and we're a contested debate space. So if you've got other views, do give us a call on 011-883-0702 and 072-702-1702. Zini, grab a little break and then we're going to grab you again after four, depending on what's happening. Thanks so much. Tsidi Madia, EWN political reporter, joining us on 702 Drive. It's 24 minutes past three.